Shall we please rise up to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Bible study. Thank you because we have gathered together at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you for the choice we have made to come before you, listen to your word. We ask you, O Lord, you keep us away during the teaching of your word in Jesus' name. The kind of tiredness or weakness that will make us to fall asleep, we pray, Lord, you take it away from us in Jesus' name. That our minds will pay attention, our hearts will pay attention, and everything within us will get ready for your word in Jesus' name. We pray that this word will be of benefit to everyone. Help us, Lord, let your spirit apply the word to every heart, every life, every family, every individual in Jesus' name. Bless the teacher and the learners. Bless every one of us and make your church stronger as a result of learning from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. We can sit down now. We come back to Matthew chapter 7. Actually, we're getting through and almost getting to the end. And these studies we're having at the end, the conclusion of Matthew chapter 7, the very, very important for you and for me. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now verse 19. Every tree. Notice that, underline the word, every in your Bible. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, is cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. You will see that the Lord here is concentrating on false prophets. Actually, when you look at your New Testament, those two words, false prophets, they come out seven times. And of the seven times that you have the use of those words, false prophets, in the New Testament, only two times were actually used by others. Five times by the Lord Jesus Christ, once by Peter, and once by John. Let's look at this in Matthew chapter 7 verse 15. Beware of false prophets. There you find the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time in the New Testament using those words, false prophets. And the first time those words come out, the Lord Jesus Christ said, beware. If you see poison, will you drink it? No. Beware. If you see a rattlesnake coming your way, would you wait for the rattlesnake to bite you, sting you, and then put the poison, deadly poison in your body? No. Then beware of false prophets. Would you want to wait for somebody that will crush your brain and crush your life and destroy you and make you to lose your life prematurely? No. Then beware of false prophets. They are dangerous, they are deadly, they are damnable. And therefore Jesus Christ said, beware of false prophets. We come to Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Matthew 24, I'm reading verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. In this second mention of the false prophet, Jesus Christ said, they will arise. That means they might not have been there before. Maybe when you were born, when you were born again, they were not in your community. Before you get too old, they will arise. Maybe at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, with those disciples following after him, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Bartholomew, the rest of them, and Philip, they didn't see too many false prophets, but Jesus said, they will arise.
And then it says, they shall deceive many. And the Lord is telling us and warning us ahead of time that false prophets will come. False prophets will arise. The sort of Jesus Christ mentioned those words, false prophets, you'll find in verse 24. Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Have you noticed that every time the Lord Jesus mentioned the false prophets, he added a little bit of information, revelation, concerning what those false prophets will be, what they will do. He started by their appearance, their half-sheep's clothing, and then talked about their nature. There'll be ravening wolves within. And then he went on to say about their offshoot, how they will come. They will arise. And then the result of what they will do, they will deceive many. Now he's telling us that they are not just going to deceive many ordinarily by their talk. Because you see, if you look at, you know, all the other references, it will look like they will be orators. They'll have impressive personalities. And then there will be people that are very aggressive and very effective. But now the Lord Jesus is saying beyond all that, they'll have some superhuman powers. And he'll have some signs, some wonders, and miracles. That's why it says in verse 24, it says they shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now the first time, you're looking at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 22. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders. You know, these false prophets we're talking about, they will not be quiet people, they will not be reserved people, they will not be timid people, fearful people, people behind the curtain, people that will not show themselves. They will be demonstrative people. And there will be people that will come to the open, and they will show their colors, they'll show who they are. And in fact, they'll try to compete with the faithful true prophets of God. And Jesus Christ said they will show signs and wonders to seduce. Take that word. Notice that word. To seduce is seduction. It's deception. It's enticement. It's allurement to allure people, to draw people away, to seduce, if it were possible, even the very elect. We're looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Woe to you, when all men shall speak well of you. The fifth time the Lord is mentioning the false prophets, because it says, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Was a great warning to the preachers of the gospel that we will not be seeking the applause, the accolades, the clapping, the well wishes of the people that were preaching to, of the world. In fact, Jesus Christ said, a popular preacher is going to be a false preacher, a false prophet, a person that all the people of the world are praising. And you know, the society, the corrupt and the evil and the sinful and the carnal and the worldly, all those people praising those prophets and preachers and pastors, it says those are the false prophets. What to you? It says the soul of that preacher, of that prophet, of that pastor is damned. If his goal is to win the praise of the people, won't you? When all men shall speak good well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. And you know, sometimes as you live in this world and you minister, and as you're preaching the gospel, and then you see other people who are preaching the gospel, and then you see that this one is, you know, being praised by the world, that one is praised by the media, that one is praised by society, but that one is even praised by the government. And then, if you're not careful, you say, what's happening to our church? What's happening to me as a preacher? Why is it I'm not winning some of these awards as well? And the moment you begin to run after those awards, looking for the praise of men, you're going to compromise the gospel. You're going to become a false prophet. Beware. And your husband too, if your husband is a preacher, watch over your husband. You know, when you see your husband beginning to discuss at home, you know, I want the world to know me. I want to be popular. I want to be here and there. And I want to win some of these. I want to. When you find your husband talking like that, go back to Luke chapter 6, verse 26, and say, my husband, you want to become a false prophet. Beware. When you find your wife talking about, how is it we are just in this local assembly, this little church here, and nobody knows us? And with the gift you have, I'm sure, my husband, if you will reach out there and branch out there, you can do something, and then we'll be able to have our pictures too in the papers, and have our names in the newspapers, our names over the television radio. We want to be known by everybody. Why do we just stay in this little corner, little state, and little region, and little local government, and this little local church, where you find your wife talking like that? You open Luke chapter 6, verse 26. My wife, you want to lead me to become one of those false prophets? Woe unto you. When all men shall speak well of you, for so did they, their fathers, to the false prophets. You find those five times that Jesus Christ himself mentioned five prophets, and he warned his people, he warned the disciples, he warned the children of God. Beware. We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Now we find another mention of the false prophet. This is Peter now. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets, here you are, also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. There shall be false teachers among you. False teachers, false prophets, the same thing. False preachers, false prophets, the same thing. False apostles, false prophets, the same thing. False evangelist, false prophet, the same thing. And so Peter reminds us there were in the past false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be. Don't you ever think that the truth will be so well known all over the world that no false prophet will come anymore? Don't you ever think that the truth will be so effective, prevailing upon all the world, the false prophets will not have a place to stand? Never. They'll be there. There were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. What will they do? Who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Now you understand what the Lord is warning us against: the false prophets. They'll privately, secretly, behind the curtain, they'll bring in damnable heresies. Heresies, messages, doctrines that will be damnable, that will damn your soul. And then it says, and even denying the Lord that bought them. That means then some of them were saved, some of them were redeemed. Some of them, they had real joy of salvation many years ago because they were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. But now they will deny the Lord that bought them, and they will bring upon themselves swift destruction. 1 John chapter 4. The seventh time you find those words, false prophets. There's prophets in the plural in the New Testament, in fact, in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And so what do we have? A repetition, a multiplicity of all these verses. Don't you see the different shades and the different revelations we have in all those verses? The Lord Jesus Christ said, beware, then told you of the appearance and the end of their inward nature. And then the Lord Jesus Christ said, they shall arise, looking to the future. And then it says, when they arise, they're going to show great signs and wonders. They're going to demonstrate some miraculous powers. And then later he said, there'll be popular preachers, popular prophets, because everybody will be praising them. And then it goes on, and Peter then tells us, they will deny the Lord that bought them, giving us now some revelation that they will not just be people who never got saved. Some of them would have been saved. But now John tells us, because what we say, there shall be, they will come to you all in the future. By the time John was writing, he said, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That means then, from that time of John until now, anywhere you go, anywhere you turn, you'll find those false prophets. By the way, why are we so concerned about that? Why don't we just open other pages of the Bible and leave all these false prophets alone? Because of their deadly work, because of their damnable heresy, and because of their deceitful approach, and because if they don't get you, they'll try to get your wife. If they don't get you and your wife, they'll try to get your children. If they don't get your family, they'll try to get your converts. And he'll try to privately bring in something that will deceive people, distract people, and turn them away from the truth. And let's look at what false prophets actually do, and why they're so deadly and dangerous and damnable. And you need to avoid them. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 6. Acts 13, verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. That's in the singular. All those other seven references are right here in the plural. False prophets. That's why I said there are seven. But now you have an example. You have an individual. You have a personality. And then you are told, this one, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. But you see behind his name, sorcery, witchcraft, occultism. But you don't see that, because you know the name is a good name, Bar Jesus. Bar Jonah means son of Jonah, Bar Jesus means son of Jesus. And then he says, which was of the deputy of the country, said just Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. This man wanted to hear the pure word of God, the saving word of God, the transforming word of God, the powerful word of God. And he wanted to have that word so that he will see the light and know the light and know how to get to life eternal. But Elymas the sorcerer, that's a false prophet now, for so is his name by interpretation, was stood there seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That's the major work of the false prophet, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, seeking to turn us away from the truth that says. These false prophets are also called false apostles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 13. For such a false apostles, false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. That's why you avoid them. Deceitful workers. And that means then, these are not just, it's not just the international preachers we're talking about, workers in the church. Deceitful workers. Want you to turn the minds of people away from the centrality of the truth of the word of God, the saving truth of the word. Deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed to the ministers as the ministers of righteousness. That's not what they pretend to be. They pretend to be ministers of righteousness, but actually they are false, whose end shall be according to their works. And you know, when we talk about prophets, most of the time your mind will go to men. Do you know women too are involved in this? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. So you are not thinking we're only talking about men, women too. If you pick up the word of God, and then you preach something false, and you deceive the minds of people, and you turn people away from the truth, and you distract the attention of people from the saving truth, sound doctrine. If you're a woman, then you're a false prophetess. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 19. I know thy words, and charity and service, and faith and patience, and thy words, and the last will be more than the first. Isn't that verse alone is a good commendation for any preacher of the gospel, for any pastor? If you know, if you will have a pastor, if you'll have a preacher, if you'll have a leader, and then the Lord will say, I know thy works, and thy charity, that's your love, and your service, and your faith, and your patience, and your works, and the last will be more than the first. You'll think you have arrived. You say, praise the Lord, I have commendation from the Lord. See what the Lord is saying about me. But read on, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that a woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach. Please wait for a moment. Can you look up here for a moment, please? You know those apostles who are preachers? When they call us preachers, if you look at that word itself, preacher, the word is so limited. You'll think that our responsibility is just to preach. That's all we do. No. You see the person over here, very active, very zealous. I know your faith, I know your service, I know your work. And your last will be, and your last work will be more than the first. And yet you allow that woman there, Jezebel, to teach. She shouldn't be teaching. You know, there are preachers who are too much afraid to confront people. And they cannot say, hey, lady, you cannot teach that here. They are afraid to confront even women. And if they are afraid to confront women, they are afraid to confront men. They cannot challenge people. And they cannot stop somebody that is bringing false doctrine into the church. Oh, they'll say, that's not my area. I'm here to preach. And once I've done my duty, and I've declared the word, and everybody knows what I preach, everybody knows how I sweat, and how I labor, and my service, and nobody can put me down as if I'm a lazy, idle, indolent, careless preacher, pastor. I preach. And that when it comes to check that man, stop him. Check that woman, stop him. Silence them. And remove the opportunity and the microphone from them so they don't teach false. Oh, they say, no, that's not my area. You know, I just come here to teach. And when you talk, oh, I'm not a disciplinarian. I'm not to stop that and stop that. You will ruin the work of God. Jesus said, nevertheless, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because you permit, you allow, thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself. You didn't call her. You didn't appoint her. And you allow people that you have not appointed by the leading of the Spirit to do whatever they want. Calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Preacher, let me ask you, you're preaching the truth, you're emphasizing the truth, you're laboring on the truth, you're preaching almost every day, but after you have preached, your word has no effect in the hearts and the minds of the people. There is a Jezebel somewhere. There is a Balaam somewhere that is polluting the whole congregation and is influencing them. And the Jezebel of the Balaam has more influence on the minds of the people than your preaching. You're wasting your life. If your life is going to be useful and profitable, you must go beyond preaching. When you finish your preaching, you check up any Balaam there, silence him. Any Jezebel there, silence her. But if you just say, well, I'm just going to preach, you know, if you are disciplining people, people will not love you. I just want to be a father, indulgent father, Eli. If you're going to be a father that cherishes the truth and loves the truth and appreciates the truth and establishes the truth, not only that, and you enforce the truth. There's no point preaching the truth if you're not going to enforce it. There's no point establishing the truth if you're not going to enforce it. Don't just be an indulgent father, a loving father, a careless father, an Eli, and then the judgment of God will come upon you. Not because you have sinned personally, but because you look at those children of Hophni and Phinehas, and he pollutes the service of the Lord. But they're just a wishy-washy back, a person that has no backbone. You cannot stand for what you believe. And silence those Jezebels. Then the judgment of God comes upon you. We will stand. I said we will stand. That when you see error coming from any direction, any Jezebel, no matter their stature, no matter their authority, that Jezebel from tonight will be silenced. And then it says in verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill this Jesus, loving Jesus, but now his judge. This is our Savior, this is our Lord, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But he hates falsehood. And that's why he's standing now in the place of the judge of the Lord of the King. And he says, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins of the heart. And I will give unto every one of you according to your words. Already now you'll see that the false prophets will be judged. And then this, if you are not a false prophet, but there's a false prophet or false prophetess that is ministering and preaching under your leadership, and you know that they are bringing error, evil, worldliness, sin, adultery, fornication, witchcraft, you know it, but you're too much of a coward to speak. The judgment you that comes upon those false teachers and false prophets will also come upon you. But I pray God will deliver you. Amen. We're coming to this study now. We're looking at the destiny of false prophets and their followers. We'll divide the message to three parts. Number one, the frightening delusion of the followers of false prophets. The frightening delusion of the followers of the false prophets. Number two, the final destiny of flattered false prophets. Number three, the future damnation of filthy, fruitless people. Number one, the frightening delusion of followers of false prophets. Delusion, what does that mean? You see, sometimes a person comes to the point where he cannot distinguish between colors. He's losing his eyesight. And green and brown, they look alike to him. Red and purple, they look alike to him. White and gray, they look alike to him. He cannot differentiate anymore between the colors. His mind is getting weakened. He cannot tell between right and wrong. And then his brain is losing its memory. He cannot tell between what God said and what the people are saying. And the man is losing his mind. He cannot tell what is from the book of the Proverbs or what is coming from the Proverbs of the world. He cannot make any difference anymore. The delusion that people become so short-sighted, they become so dim in their sight, and they become almost blind, they cannot tell. And the delusion came upon them because they started by overlooking the truth. Overlooking what is essential. Have you noticed it in your life before? If you don't practice it, but you know, if you saw something the first time, it will shock you. But if you tell yourself, why do I allow that to shock me? That's none of my business. Let them do what they want to do. Let me do what I'm going to do. And then you turn away. When you see it the next time, you also tell yourself, well, why does that bother me? And then they do it again. You say, why does that bother me? It will come to a point, whenever you see it, it will not bother you again. I'm asking you now, if you're reading the papers, and you know, you're showing the newspapers, know what's going on in your country, and sometimes you open the paper when you are very young, and then they search, there was a robbery somewhere, there's murder somewhere, and he killed somebody, and you see the picture of in the paper. The first time you saw that, you lose your appetite, you'll not be able to eat. The next time when you see that again in the papers, it will bother you, but not like originally. But today, after you've seen it 10 times, 100 times in newspapers, you open the papers and they say, you know, there's a plane crash and 57 people died. You just read it and then you pass on to the next page. It doesn't have any effect on your mind anymore. That's how the mind works. If you see evil and you just overlook it, and just say, just accept it, and say that's none of my business, it comes to a point your conscience becomes hardened, and it doesn't matter to you anymore. And it's like, you know, something is going on in your community, and they're shouting, he has killed him, and you're hearing shouting. The first time when you came to the city and you heard that, you couldn't sleep for the rest of the night. And but you've heard that over and over and over, that after you've heard that now, 5 minutes after the gunshots have come down, it just rolled over your bed and, you know, you're asleep. Before, you couldn't sleep the whole night if you had anything like that. And that's the problem of the mind. Don't allow evil and error, false doctrine, to become so familiar to you that you don't mind anymore. It brings delusion. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Matthew chapter 13, we're looking at verse 15. Here it says in verse 15, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. That's how they come to delusion. Those false prophets and the followers of the false prophets, you see, things like this, black and white, very, very clear. They just close their eyes. And then it says, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and shall understand with their hearts and shall be converted and I should heal them. The people that deliberately close their minds to what they should know. And they say, no, that's none of my concern. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to see that. And then they block the truth away from their minds. Eventually, they come to delusion. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. For that this is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. It's a matter of the will, of the mind. That's how people become used to false doctrine. You know, sometimes a person has been in a church like this for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. And, you know, except maybe one or two Mondays in those 20 years, never miss the Bible study. Has been coming and coming, has studied the Bible with us from cover to cover. All of a sudden, maybe there's a sick child, or a sick wife, or oppression somewhere, or a loss of job, or something that happened. And then begin to think about that calamity, that problem, that pain, that suffering, that joblessness, or that whatever it is. And then he begins, his mind begins to go to another place, and then he goes to another church. The first time he goes there and he sees all those people and how they were doing the service, it almost irritated him. And he almost said, what am I doing here? This is terrible. And then the preacher came, and the preacher just told some stories, and then everybody get up, and then he was watching, it was straight to him, and begin to shake yourself, shake, 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 and shake all the curses and all the calamities and all the evil and all the joblessness, shake it away. And the women shake and shake, and their scarf come this way and that way. And the man, you know, for the first time he got there, he was looking at them. Why are these people doing like this? They're shaking and shaking. By the time these people finish, they're going to have headache. And then, you know, after that, after they are shaking and shaking, then the man on the pulpit said, right now, all those things are shaking them away. They have gone. Amen, amen. And then they go back home. And then he begins to think, that place I went today, what kind of service was that? Those people, no preaching. It's not like where I'm coming from. But shame will not allow him to come back here, because where did you go? And then he goes again. And then these people that shook so much in the last service, and the preacher said, now praise the Lord, they're shaking everything away. All of a sudden, the preacher comes up and says, hey, everybody now, you will shake all the evil away from your life. I thought you shook it away last time. Why is the shaking again? And they shake and shake and shake. All of a sudden, our brother, he began to shake. And then after that, but he didn't shake like all the other people. You know, he's getting used to it now. Then he goes back again. By the time he spends 3 months there, he'll be the champion shaker. A shake, you'll not believe your eyes, because now he's used to it. It's not good to be used to false doctrine, false appearance, and false performance, and all the false activities they do in those places. Don't get used to evil. Come out. Beware of false prophets. Where did Jesus tell any of the people to shake like that? What did the apostles tell any of those people to shake like that? What do we find it in the New Testament, in the Bible? Shake, 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 and all that. That's falsehood. And you know, many people are not telling us the truth, but you come here, you'll hear the truth. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that will wipe all those sins away. It's not the shaking. And then it is what he has done that has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It is not the shaking. Can you shake the devil away? Can you shake demons away? Can you shake bad luck away? Look at those people who have been going to such places for 7 years and 10 years. They have been shaking for those 10 years. Those things are still there. Why don't you come? And then see that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you put up your shield of faith. And then it says, the shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, of the devil. Not shaking, it is faith. And so there are people that just close their eyes to the truth. Look at it now in verse 10. It says, which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. You see, there are people, they get used to evil and to the deceit, the deception, the false doctrine. And they say, that's what we want. That's our choice. Give it to us. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 44. And I'm reading from verse 16. As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us, in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. That's real delusion. They knew it was from the word of the Lord. And they said, Jeremiah, keep your doctrine. Keep your message. Keep your truth. Keep your salvation. Keep all those things you are talking about. Yes, we know the chapter and the verse. As for the word that thou hast spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. But in verse 17, we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouths. That's deception. That's delusion. Their consciences have become totally hardened. What's the attitude of God to such people? When somebody gets to the point that he says, yes, I know the truth, don't tell me again. I know what you're talking about. I don't want to hear. I know where you are going, but don't waste your time. I'm not going to hear. What's the attitude of God to such people? Romans chapter 1, I'm reading verse 28. Romans chapter 1, we're looking at verse 28. You see the attitude of the Lord to the people that make up their minds. Yes, they know that's the truth, but they don't want to hear. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And you know, there are people that may even come to church over here, and the things they hear, what they say, well, I knew they were going to say that. I don't like that. I don't accept that. I'm not going to do that. Look at the verse. I said, that's not for me. You see, what will God do? It says in verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the danger. When somebody knows that this is the truth, and the false prophets are getting to him, and he loves what the false prophets are saying, and he rejects the sound teaching of the word of God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're reading from verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because he received not the love of the truth. You know, you have to love the truth before it will benefit you. You have to appreciate the truth before it will benefit you. But if there's something in your heart, either against the person that is speaking the truth, that's why you need to appreciate your leaders in the local church. That's why you need to appreciate your coordinators and group coordinators and overseers in the local church. Because if you have something against them before you even came to church, that's why you should never have any negative discussion between you and your wife, you and your husband, you and the children. You don't know much hurt you do to your children if you ever discuss our leaders, our coordinators, group coordinators, and overseers in the presence of your children. Those children are sharp. You understand what you're saying? And then when they get to church and our leaders are preaching to them, they cannot listen because we are totally trampled over those leaders. And you hurt yourself by doing that. They will not have any love for the preacher of the truth. Neither will they have any love for the truth that that preacher is preaching. And then it says in that verse 10, that they might be saved. And for this cause, in verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Because there's no love for the truth, then God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Look up here. And you know why sometimes we say, and we wonder why our people, they have problems and they are not solved, and they have difficulties, they are not removed. And you know, we go to the Thursday revival hour, and then our preachers, they preach. Are they not quoting from the same Bible the pastor is quoting from? Are they not emphasizing the same name of Jesus and the same power of this unchanging, immutable word? Yes, they are. You know, when I come by the grace of God, it's not just because of what I say. It's because when I come and open those walls and I say, God will heal you today, they say, yes, amen, we believe, because you believe. That's why, not because of my name, not because it's me saying it, but when you get your district, if you are kind of downgraded, belittled, and you have a kind of a felt that all those coordinators, who are they? What can they do? Anything they preach, you are just there. You don't love them. And because you don't love and appreciate them, the things they preach will be common to you. That's why you'll find, if you check up very well, a stranger comes to the church, a newcomer comes to the church, that newcomer is sick. But he doesn't know our preacher. He doesn't know that this, the GS, or that is region overseer, or that is state overseer, or that's group coordinator, that's coordinator. The stranger, the newcomer, doesn't know the difference between any of them, any of us. And then this person comes and he preaches the word of God, and he says, right there, the word of God is coming to you now. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Lord is touching you now because you know him, the person preaching, and you don't respect him, and you don't have any love for him or what he says, just see down there, the newcomer that didn't know anything negative about him, and immediately the preacher said, raise up your hand, he raised up his hand, touch yourself, he touches himself, claim it now, you are getting healed now, all of a sudden, the healing comes. And the people that come out to say, praise the Lord, I was healed, when the message was going on, if it's a retreat in the morning, you'll find most of those people are newcomers. They are the people that do not know our preachers. Are we not hurting ourselves by acting too familiar with our preachers? Are we not hurting ourselves by belittling them? Are we not hurting ourselves by not having the love for the truth? But if you love the truth and say, it doesn't matter who else is preaching it, senior pastor or junior pastor, doesn't matter to me. The word of God is the word of God. This word of God will do good in your life. But if we come to the deception, if we come to the delusion, that then we don't have the love for the truth, it will be a pity. I pray it will never happen to you. I'm reading from verse 10 again for you to get a feel of what I'm talking about. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. I pray that the Lord will give us the love for the truth in Jesus' name. Point number two now, the final destiny of flattered false prophets. The false prophets, although everybody is flattering them, appreciating them, exalting them, what's the final destiny? Here we learn from Matthew chapter 7 verse 19. Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at verse 19. It says, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, is cut down, and cast into the fire. The destiny of false prophets. And the Lord here was talking about the false prophets when he said, the tree that does not bring forth good fruit. That means it's bringing forth evil fruit, corrupt fruit, carnal fruit, sinful fruit, worldly fruit followers. And as you look at Matthew chapter 3, you'll find that's exactly what John had told a people, John the Baptist, in Matthew chapter 3 verse 10. And now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. The axe, that's the axe of judgment. That's the axe of the wrath of God. That's the act of the final damnation for the people who are adamant in their sin, in their evil. The acts of judgment, of damnation and condemnation, that acts is laid on the roots of all the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. You know, it's so clear from the word of God. And that's why, you know, you don't want to flatter people, flatter anybody that is, you know, not doing right, not preaching well, not preaching some doctrine, even a relative, a husband, a wife. You know, sometimes your husband might say, you know, my wife, I didn't want to tell you this before, but I see that my talents are not being well used here. And I see that if I branch out to, you know, do another thing and to just appreciate ministry, you know what? I feel that my ministry will really break out very well. And I didn't want to tell you before, but now I have a new name for that ministry I've been talking about. And if you just say, okay, that's all right, we're going together, and you make your husband to be lost, to come under condemnation. Watch all those people. They have a new ministry. They want to have a breakthrough. They want to build this and build that. Wife, come on, join me. Watch them. They establish this new thing. And then they cannot stand upon the truth. They cannot keep on emphasizing the truth. They want a crowd. And because they want a crowd, they do not have the stamina or the backbone to be able to stand on this unchanging word of God. And you, wife, you can be upheld by saying, my husband, I'm not going anywhere. Here is where the truth is preached without fear, without favor. Some of the people who are state overseers today, they were as fellowship leaders before. Your time will come. Just stay where you are. If you stay here, I'll stay with you. If you go anywhere, sir, you go alone. I'm staying here. If you do that, a man may go, but they'll be saying, where is your wife? Where is your wife? And then you will say, my wife is not coming because, you know, we're deep alive. Ah, if your wife will not come, we cannot trust you, cannot be with you. Your staying will be a magnet that will bring the husband back. But if you just encourage them and say, okay, let us go. And then you get into false doctrine, the damnation at the end of the day, the evil that will be done, and the judgment that will come at the end of the day when there will be no remedy. That's why it pays to stay where you are. You are not here for position. You are not here for, you know, this title and this authority and that. Whatever the Lord wants you to be, you will be. I said you will be. You know, sometimes there are people, they're too much in a hurry. And, you know, even they tell us Rome was not built in a day. You don't become a bishop, a bishop in a day, an overseer in a day. Stay. And whatever you have now that you are doing, stay there. And if the Lord wants you in a higher position, that position will come. And so don't encourage people that will say, I want to go and do this, because of the damnation that comes upon people that just jump like that. And then they might jump into error, falsehood, damnation, condemnation, judgment, wrath to come. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 15. Matthew chapter 23. Verse 15. Want you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, one disciple, one follower. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the charge of hell than yourselves. That means that those preachers were children of hell, and they are converts too. They become children of hell, but then they become twofold more the child of hell. In verse 33, ye serpents, and ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Ye vipers. That means that their nature was evil. And these were preachers, the preachers of the day. And Jesus said, ye vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? 2 Peter, reading from chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Reading there from verse 1. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, privately, secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves what kind of destruction? Sweet destruction. Bring upon themselves. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. And this tells us another thing. You know, some people will say, but that church is growing. If they are not standing on the truth, how can they be growing like that? You've not read your Bible of late. I don't want to mention churches, but churches grow. Whatever churches, whatever church they are. And the largest church in this country is the Catholic Church. Are we going to say that because the Catholic Church is the largest church in this country, therefore, the totality of the truth is there? The Jehovah's Witnesses are very large. Are we going to say because they have many followers, that means that they're preaching the truth? The white garment churches are very large. Don't be deceived by numbers. It's not the number. When Jesus came over here in this world, the Pharisees had large followings. But Jesus Christ was the truth, the personification of the truth. And then after he rose from the dead, how many people saw him? Just a little more than 500 people. And on the day of Pentecost, only 120. So don't be fooled by large numbers. Because it says in that verse 2, it says, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with vain words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not." That's it. Their judgment lingereth not, and their damnations lumbereth not. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust, to reserve the sinner, to reserve the backslider, and to reserve the adamant prodigal son, and to reserve the false prophet, the unjust, until the day of judgment to be punished. And he tells us in verse 17, these are wells without water, whether the water of life, and clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. You don't want to be in a case like that. That these people who are not preaching the truth, who do not know the truth, who are not emphasizing the truth, who cannot stand uncompromisingly for the truth, wishy-washy, no backbone, and they're like jellyfish, amphibians, neither in nor out, and they cannot put their feet down on what is truth and declare the truth without fear, without favor. It says the damnation of hell is reserved for them, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. In Jude, I'm reading from verse 4. But there are certain men crept in unawares. That's what we need to be vigilant. They creep in unawares, unnoticed. And if you are not careful, they will join the workforce. If you are not careful, they will become preachers. If you are not careful, they will come to teach or study scripture. And would you be surprised, some people like that, they sneak into the church. They don't really have the mind to be a blessing to the church. And I'm talking about the local church, where you come from, where we come from, some of them. Maybe just on Sunday morning, they quickly look at the study scripture booklet, and then they put some things together. They'll be too busy during the week. They sneak in as workers, teachers, and leaders. If we want to be of benefit to the people of God, and you don't want to turn to become a false prophet, you prepare yourself in study and prayer. It says in that verse 4. Turning the grace of our Lord God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. After they were saved, and they came out of Egypt, and they were now going on their way to the land of promise, their minds turned away, turned back from the Lord, and they believed not. And although they did not perish in Egypt, and although they did not drown in the Red Sea, in the wilderness, before they got to the promised land, they perished. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but led their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah. The cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication. Giving themselves over to fornication. Oh, you see, those people, maybe they don't, they have never heard about Christ. You'll be surprised. There are churches. And in John, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, we are the righteousness of Christ. And the Lord doesn't see anything that we do. He only sees what Jesus has done. And they tell themselves, they deceive themselves, and they say, God doesn't see their sin. And God doesn't mark their sin. Once you are saved, he only sees what Jesus has done. Hey, how about Ananias and Sapphira? They were believers too. You remember what happened to them? Acts chapter 5. God saw what they did. How about Demas? Demons have forsaken me, and then he has followed after the pollutions of this world. God saw what he did. How about that man? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I hear reports among you, fornication, even as such as is not to be named among the Gentiles. God saw what he did. Cast out that man from among you, and leave him in the hands of Satan, so that he'll be tormented, and then he'll repent. About 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for many of you sleep, because they came to the Lord's table, not discerning the Lord's body, and many of them died. God saw what they did. But you know, all these deceivers, they just take one verse of the Bible. God doesn't see anything that we do. Only what he sees is what Christ has done. Don't let anybody deceive you. You will not be deceived. And therefore it says over here, it says, they followed after fornication. Let me read that verse 7 again in Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. I pray God will deliver every one of us. In all these false prophets, where will they end? Hellfire. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. I pray you will not be there. We come now to point number 3. The future damnation of filthy, fruitless people. The future damnation of filthy, fruitless people. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're looking at verse 19. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 19. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It's good for you to meditate on the word of God. For me to meditate on the word of God. I look at that word every, and I remember that God is no respecter of persons. I see that word every, and I see that God is not going to play with his word. And whoever it is, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit. You remember Moses struck the rock 2 times in anger, and God dealt with that. Do you remember Eli not checking the children, and God dealt with that? Do you remember David that committed adultery, and God dealt with that? Do you remember Herod that spoke, and he said that's the voice of God, not the voice of man? He did not give the glory to God, and God dealt with him. Do you remember Nebuchadnezzar that said, this is Babylon that I built by the great power of my might? Immediately a voice came from heaven to you, he just said, O king, that shall be driven away from the society of men, and God dealt with him. Anyone, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. There is no place you reach, no position you have, no title you bear in the house of God, in the kingdom of God, that if you go into sin, that God will just, okay, that's so and so, I love him, it's all right, he can do evil, he has a great title, is a significant figure and servant in my house. No, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. We're looking at John chapter 15 verse 6. John chapter 15 verse 6. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If a man abide not in me, as a preacher, are we abiding in the word of God? As members of the body of Christ in the church, are we abiding in the word of God? If a man abide not in me, if a woman abide not in me, if a believer abide not in the Lord, and he goes astray, he backslides, and begins to commit those private, secret sins, they start by small, small things. It doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And eventually, some big things come into their lives. If a man abide not in me, that man is cast forth, and then eventually is thrown into the fire and burnt. Matthew chapter 13, notice, you know, these words here. Matthew chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 40 to verse 42. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. All things that offend. All. No exception. You know, there are people that think that now we've arrived at such a stage where the good things we have done, where the messages we have preached, and with the programs we have held, and with the great, great impact and influence we have, not only in this local church, but in many other places, with all the things we have done, it's like now, those things, they give us liberty, license to live like we want. Never, never, never. Whatever you have done in the kingdom of God, all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, shall cast them, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then in verse 50, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever, separate, divide the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. I pray you will escape. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall you say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me. Depart from me. You know, here in the world, some people show favoritism, but not God. Not God. He knows our hearts. He knows our lives. He knows whether we are for real. He knows how careful we are. He knows how careless we are. He knows how sensitive we are to the voice of the Spirit. And yet He knows how callous, hardened we are to the voice of the Spirit. And He judges not by your name, by your stature, by your facial appearance, by the visible things. He judges by the very secrets of the heart. And that's why it says, some will be on the left and some will be on the right hand. And then it says, I will say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 40 says, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. I will not be there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're reading from verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For if we sin willfully. What's that? Somebody knows the truth. Look up here. It's like me, for example, now. Because of the privilege God has given me to teach, I know quite a lot of the verses of the Bible. And I cannot give any excuse. I don't know this is wrong. I don't know that this is not acceptable to God. I cannot say that. Because of the knowledge of the Word of God I have, not just in my head, in my heart. And because of the conviction the Lord has built up, there's no way for me to just go before God and say, I didn't know. Of course I know. And anything I do, if it is wrong, is by my will. It's like, I know this is not right, but I still decided. I felt that my personality is so great, and my personality then makes me to be above the Word of God. After all, this is who I am. And then I do that. That's willful sin. Just like I cannot give excuse that I don't know. The majority of us here, by virtue of the fact that you have been listening to the Word, and by the virtue of the fact that the Spirit of God has been dealing with you every time, even some little things, your conscience will remind you. You are a brother. You are a sister. Do you think that is right? If the other brethren were here now, do you think you'll do this with liberty? What you say now, if your leader, your local church leader were there, in all honesty, would you think you'll do that, say that? If those who are listening to the people you are counseling and the people you are teaching, if they were here, do you think you will touch that, say that, go that direction? No. You know the truth. If then you sin against the light, if then you do evil against the knowledge you have, that's willful sin. Verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment shall he be thought worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God? If we trample, when it says has trodden underfoot the Word of God, maybe you don't understand. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There is an identification between the Word and Christ Himself. When you take the Word of God, throw it down, trample over it, I don't care, I don't mind, and you walk over the Word of God as if, then the consequence, let what will happen, happen. You are trampling, you are treading on Christ. The Word is Christ. and Christ is the Word. And when you so belittle the Word and degrade the Word and insult the Word and you trample on the Word of God, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith it was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him who has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But God will deliver us in Jesus' name. He loves us. He doesn't want us to perish. That's why he's giving all these warnings. And if you have had any attachment, any association with false prophets, tonight we cut that association. We love the Lord. We're going to love the word of the Lord. And no matter who it is that is propagating the false doctrine, that is coming with great personality, recommending himself, wanting to have authority over us, we reject every negative authority. We're going to stand on the word of God. And the word of God will be of tremendous benefit and profit to your life in Jesus' name. You will not only be a hearer of the word, you'll be a doer of the word. Not only a doer, a believer in the word. Not only a believer, you'll be a preacher of the word. And this outline in your hand, now is passed on into your hand, you'll become the teacher. The people around you, educate them, enlighten them, show them the word of God, and show them the truth. And then you will decrease and nullify the influence of false prophets in your community, because God has raised you up as a mighty faithful prophet. You'll be faithful to the Lord. And the reward of faithful, true, loyal prophets, the Lord will give unto you. Let's rise up now, commit ourselves to the Lord, that we will not be of the number that will destroy the word, pollute the word, or deceive people. We'll stand on this word, and God will reward you for it. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Beware of false prophets, false prophetess. Don't be so weak in your mind that if you see any false prophet trying to sneak in into our fellowship, that you cannot stand and rebuke them and silence them. If you are not in a position to stop them, tell our leaders. You have a pastor in your local church, you have a coordinator in your local church, you have a group coordinator over there, tell them. Don't hide it, don't hide them. And you find anyone that is trying to bring strange doctrine, strange fire into the fellowship of the people of God. God has put you there, my brother, my sister. Open your eyes wide and see those things. Silence them. Knock them out. Be a watchman. You're the eyes of the leader in the church. The leader in your local church cannot see everything. You're their eyes. You're their ears. What you hear, they must hear. What you see, they must know. Don't allow false prophets, false preachers, false workers, deceitful workers, false apostles, Jezebels, Balaams to take over our church. Be faithful, be loyal. God is depending upon you. We are depending upon you too. Be vigilant. Your loyalty is not to a false prophet. Your loyalty is to the Lord. And your loyalty is to us, your leaders. I'm sure you are not looking for their favor. I'm sure you are not looking for any reward from false prophets. You want to be a believer with backbone, a believer with conviction, a believer with grace, the grace and the courage to stand, a believer that will not hide evil, adultery, fornication, sin in the fellowship. You know, our coordinator doesn't know that thing going on there. If he knew, he'll deal with it. And you know, you cannot deal with it. Report it to the leader, to the pastor there, the local leader there. Let no false prophet have any place to stand in our church. Pray that the Lord will help you, will give you grace to live a victorious Christian life, a righteous Christian life. And the righteous is as bold as a lion. If you are committing secret sin yourself, if you see anybody doing evil or preaching error, you will not be able to talk. Because if you say, I'm going to report, and they say, go and report, I'll tell what you have been doing to you. Sin will make you a coward. Your private secret compromise will make you a coward. You'll not be able to talk. But you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you whiter than snow. And it gives you the victory. And it lays victoriously in your heart. And your life is pure and clean. You'll be courageous and bold. Righteousness will put energy, enthusiasm, force, power, some authority into your life. And you'll be able to stand for the truth. I'm sure you are not going to night vigils, prayer meetings, and all those places where they're preaching false doctrine, shaking this away and shaking this off. I'm sure you are not going to drink oil, rub oil, drink water again, holy water. You're not trying to replace the blood of Jesus with all their lotions and potions. I'm sure you're not going to some secret place. They're almost leading you to idolatry. I'm sure you're not following the crowd. You're following the world. I'm sure you love Jesus more than your husband. Sure. I'm sure you love Jesus more than your wife. And even if your husband, why? You said, now I want to branch up and do this. I'm sure you love God so much. Love the word of God so much. You're not allowed. A wife, an husband, a child, a friend, a brother, a sister, a relative, to sway you and get you off your ground. You want to be steadfast, immovable, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, laboring with sound doctrine, sound faith, healthy attitude, nothing false, nothing counterfeit, nothing fake, no secret compromise, because you want to avoid and escape the damnation of false prophets. Tell the Lord that the Lord will give you the heart to stand, the courage to stand, the stamina to stand on the word. Not timid, not fearful, not bending, bowing, yielding to the pressure of false prophets, of unstable people, undependable people. Mark yourself out as a person that will stand. Stand with the Lord. Stand on the word. Whatever those things are the Lord has convicted you about, making your life careless, unfaithful, disloyal, those little things, secret things, private things, almost becoming a habit, shake it off spiritually. Stamp it under your feet. Say, this will not have authority over my life anymore. Stand faithful, loyal to the Lord, so you will not be a partaker of the condemnation, the judgment of the false prophets. Be faithful to the very end, and the Lord will give you the crown of life.